It's the Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy Show, making healthy living fun for everyone.
I want to congratulate you on the show. It's really great.
Well, thank you. That's great to hear.
And I actually have your book, You Can't Lose Weight Alone. I love it.
You guys are excellent. I check you guys out every week.
I love your show. And every week I learn something new, so I think it's great.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Join Dr. Fitness.
No, it's no longer a six-pack. No, it's the eight-pack and the 12-pack.
And the Fat Guy.
Or what I have, the pony keg.
They deliver the skinny. On Getting Skinny.
Doctor, you think that joke's still funny?
What joke?
The powder keg? Yeah, the pony keg.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. But can we get that guy back to do it again? Can we do more funny stuff?
I don't know. Doubt it.
Are you still as funny as you were back when we
I'm not,
did that?
No. I was young and carefree back in the day.
Now you're like a businessman. You're constantly doing stuff now, and you're constantly doing more radio stuff.
I am very busy.
Entrepreneurial.
My brain, I used to spend literally hours coming up with jokes, like preparing for the show, researching the guests, getting all this little tidbits. Oh, look, in high school, they were like this. This will be great to bring up. Now it's like, who's the guest today? What?
What time is the show?
11:30 again?
Yeah.
It's a different world now, doctor.
I like the old Lee better than the new Lee. It makes it easier for me.
I do, too.
So, how was your week? Anything exciting? I know we had a change in daylight savings time. Has that affected you at all?
Yes. Getting dark at, 6 o'clock now? What is that about?
Well, what would you rather have? Would you rather have getting up where there's light, or would you rather have the day ending early?
I would rather have light at night.
I prefer because I wake
up before it's light anyway, so it doesn't matter what time before.
So that's not really going to benefit you.
It's not a selling point that it's light at 7 o'clock in the morning now.
Right. Yeah, I'm the opposite. I actually like waking up with a little bit of light. I like the light to actually
you
wake
like
me up.
It being dark at 6. So you think like, wow, it must be really late, and it's like 7:30, and you're like, well, let's call it a night.
Right.
8 o'clock.
When it's dark in the morning, that typically tells me that's a sign that I still need to stay in bed. When it's light out, it means that's time to wake up. I'm like a rooster.
I can see you're very sensitive to the nature like that.
Well, I'm such a fine-tuned machine that I'm very sensitive to any sort of any change.
Any disruption in this.
Yeah.
Well, how long do we have to put up with this nonsense?
Well, no, this is what happened. Didn't we have – we have this clock. Didn't daylight savings change – by the way, didn't they change this like a week ago, like it moved back a week or so?
Yes, there was a controversy.
Right, but who was there a group that got together, like did the president get together with somebody and say?
It was Benjamin Franklin.
I want to know who did this.
He invented daylight savings.
Do you know why they invented it?
It was probably for the farmers, I would guess.
No, it was actually to save money. And I don't think it was
Ben. Light,
I don't think it was Ben Franklin.
I think so.
I think it was after Ben Franklin.
I doubt it.
No, I think it was one of the world wars. They were doing it to try to save energy costs. Go Google it. Check it out.
You want me to Google it?
I'm telling you. I think that's what it was.
I'm going to Google who invented...
No, why was daylight savings time? Who and why was it created?
All right, I will jump on that.
I'm waiting.
In addition to my other duties of the show,
I'm trying to relieve you of your duties of doing the show.
Yes,
I'm trying to get you so that you were back in that where you were just on your phone. You're just using your phone for the whole hour that we were doing the
and
show.
I was distracted. So now I'm not distracted because I have too much to do.
We're seeing if we can get somebody in that seat, Lee. How was that seat, by the way? That felt a lot more comfortable.
Warm and cozy. Okay, ready?
Yeah. Do you know?
Yes. Origin. Although not punctual, this is Wikipedia if you believe them.
Yeah, they make up stuff.
Yeah, so it may not be true. Benjamin Franklin.
It was Benjamin Franklin?
Sorry.
That's because you read his biography.
Exactly. I don't know if he actually invented it. Franklin did not propose daylight saving time.
Well, anyway, I'm sure it had something to do
with... It was a myth.
I'm sure it had something to do with him. But I want to know what you think. I want our listeners out there to tell us what you think about about daylight savings time. How has it affected you? Would you rather it be lighter in the morning? Would you rather be getting darker or earlier? Let us know. Go to our Facebook page. Check us out. Go there and see the our site. And also, we are coming up on our 500th Facebook friend right now. I think, what are we, 497?
Yes.
Why are we stuck? We should have blown by 500.
And then you would think it, as it gets close, people would be like, wow, I want to be the 500th.
Right. Keep telling other people to do it. And then you, and then boom, you sign up. So anyway, go there. We're giving out a lot of cool stuff this time.
It's going to be a box of goodies like we've never given before. I promise. And you can go to our Facebook page and you hear about how much stuff we give out.
It sounds like it's going to be a lot of Halloween candy.
It's going to be a lot of stuff.
I think that's what it is.
I'm getting rid of all the kids' Halloween candy.
Yeah. What else? What else?
You probably have more Halloween candy than I
got. Halloween candy story to tell you. I'll tell you after our first guest. But I got in trouble from eating the Halloween candy.
You threw it away?
No.
You ate the good stuff?
No. I found my daughter was hysterical crying. I'll tell you
hysterical
about it.
Hysterical crying over candy.
Yep. Hysterical. Last
hysterical
night.
Hysterical crying over Halloween candy. That's what a role model you are, doctor.
It's not me. I wasn't even home when it happened.
So I thought you caused this problem.
I caused it, but I wasn't there to be a part of it. But anyway, enough about me. I want to bring on our first guest today. We have with us Matt Jenkins, and I read about Matt in some magazine about him running barefoot. Like, you know, we had on Dean Karnazes, who ran, 50 marathons in 50 days in 50 different states. And then I came across Matt, and Matt took it to another level because Dean at least had running shoes. You know, that's a luxury we don't really think about. Matt has actually been running. He's actually run 760 miles barefoot across North Carolina. And he was pushing a stroller with his supplies at the same time. And he was trying to raise money for nonprofit organizations across the state at the same time. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Matt, are we into your running time right now? Is it making it difficult for you to run right now?
No, I decided to take the day off and let some other guys have some fun. We had a double out here in Boone, and I ran yesterday. And
what's a double?
I just take a day.
It's a double.
Out.
What's a double?
They had a double.
Two marathons in 2 days.
Two marathons in 2 days. You went back to back.
Yeah. Well, I didn't, but we had some of your listeners probably know these guys. Jim Simpson and Larry Macon were out here running.
No, we don't really have any listeners, Matt,
yeah,
so they have no
fat
idea who they are.
Well, they've done the 50 states 11 times, each of them.
What?
So that's not a big deal? Karnazes made it seem like
Karnazes
it was a big deal.
Karnazes made it seem like it was a big deal.
They filmed him. It was like a documentary.
They made a movie about that dude. He's written a couple of books. And you're telling me that these guys did 11 times?
Yeah, they've done it 11 times, and working on their 12.
I knew that Karnazes was a fake.
Matt, I got to tell you, so you ran 760 miles. How long did it take you to run that?
Like 3 hours.
A couple of days? How long did it take?
Yeah, a month.
A month?
I had to take a week off. I got bit by a copperhead snake about a week or a few days before I was supposed to get into Tennessee. And my foot swelled up, and I couldn't barely walk on it, really. So I had to take a week off.
You know, there were some rumors in the running community that you did that on purpose because you were getting a little tired.
I started those rumors.
Now, how did you get bit by a copperhead snake? First of all, where did it bite you?
In the foot. He stepped
on
it.
Yeah.
You're kidding me. Now, if you had running shoes, you wouldn't have gotten bitten.
That problem. That's the lesson here.
If I had running shoes on, it might have bit me in the leg, and I'd be facing all sorts of other issues.
That's true. So we're kind of lucky.
Saved his life.
Said that, they act like running shoes are made out of cast iron, like a snake can't bite through it.
Well,
it's a sock. It's basically a sock on your foot.
Right. It's not really that protective.
That's the magic about a shoe.
Right.
I don't know. I wear Hummer shoes. The mine are pretty protective.
He wears those Kango shoes. If you ever seen them, look like a ski boot. That's what he. That's how he rolls. The fat guy.
Because I'm afraid of snakes. That's
right.
Why I do it.
That's the way to do it.
So wait a minute. Like, I gotta get this straight. You're running because typically when you see a snake on the road,
you avoid it.
You avoid
just
it.
FYI, there, Matt.
Did this guy shoot out of the side? Like, how did he get? How did he get you? What happened?
That's real good advice. I was running at night, actually, and it just rained, and my headlamp was running low on batteries, and I had it out, and I was looking, and there's a lot of sticks in the road, too, and so I ran over a couple sticks,
and you're like, oh, that's a stick.
I ran over one stick that moved and tried to bite at me, and I thought, oh, man.
That's not a stick.
I need to be more careful.
Right.
And I was running on the yellow line in the middle there.
Right.
And these snakes, the copperheads, I mean, there's probably a dozen of them out there. And one of them was laying on in the black section where I couldn't see him. And, I mean, I never saw him.
When you say the black section, you're not talking about the part of town. You're talking about the road?
No. The black part, like the asphalt.
Ah, okay. I just want to make sure we were politically correct here. So now, you're out there running on the roads, and you're doing 760 miles. Now how did you gear up for this? Because I've looked at your resume, and you've run 90.
You have his resume?
I have your resume.
Looking for a job?
No, but he's run 95 marathons. He's done 15 ultra marathons, and he's done most of these without shoes.
Yeah, and I've done most of them in the last 2 years.
No kidding. Was this have to do with some sort of girl that you broke up with? Because I could see how that could happen, where you just kind of just say, you know what, I'm just going running.
He was inspired by the Forrest Gump movie.
Yeah, that's
what. If anything, I think it had to do with the fact that I'm turning 30 this year, so this is how I have my crises.
Right.
Is I go out and do crazy things.
Right.
So right before I was about to propose to the woman who's now my wife, we hiked from Mexico to Canada for 5.5 months. So that was that was the crisis before this.
Wait a minute.
Pattern.
It must be hard for you to have a job.
Wait,
is that right?
When you say you hiked from Mexico to Canada, how do you get across the Gulf of Mexico? How does that happen?
He swam.
Oh, no.
It was portions of it he swam.
You went the long way.
Yeah.
You went the land way.
Yeah, it's a trail called the Pacific Crest Trail, and most people do it in far less than 5.5 months, but we're taking our time and having fun.
Hey, you're newlyweds. You're having fun. You guys are newlyweds. Right.
And plus they were trying to avoid all the snakes.
That's right.
You had to take more time.
We encountered a lot more snakes, and I picked up some rattlesnakes, and I didn't get bit, so I don't know what happened.
So now, does your wife, is she a runner as well? Does she enjoy the – do you take her out on runs?
She better.
Yeah, she's run 3 marathons, and I've run 2 of them with her, so –
Yeah, my wife never ran a marathon. Yeah. Maybe that's the lesson to learn here. You got to marry somebody that runs a marathon. That's the way. You know, happy life, happy wife.
Does she run barefoot too?
She runs sometimes in socks. I had this company called Swiftwick. They used to send me socks to run in, so I've got all these socks sitting around the house. And I told her, "Well, you ought to try barefoot running. I mean, you start off with these socks,
right?
They'll protect your feet." And she's done it, and she really liked it, and she's got really sensitive feet.
Now, Matt, tell us about your eating regimen. What was your eating regimen when you were doing this?
Why is that funny?
Yes.
Eating is funny.
Eating. Well, he had the socks down cold. I don't think he had the eating part down as easy.
Yeah, I read up on you guys before calling in and. I was like, man, I'm not coming on the right show here. They're talking about eating vegetables. Everything is about diet. My run across the state, I was eating Chef Boyardee. And,
right.
Gas station food. I mean, if I could find a hot dog or two, that was a good day. But everything was high calorie, high sodium, which I'm pretty sure isn't good for most people.
Well, we're not nutritionists here, Matt.
Yeah, but
so we're not going to judge you.
But
we will talk about you when you hang up.
did you have a plan in place in terms of I need to have a certain amount of calories?
I don't think so. If he's eating Chef Boyardee and going to the gas station, I don't think there's a plan.
What a life! What a this is.
No, I kind of went. Kind of day by day on and tried to figure it out as I went, because I'm the kind of person that I can plan something like months and months in advance and put something down on paper, and then once I get out there everything changes and I've got to adapt to this new environment. So I just won't come up with a plan. I'll just adapt to everything.
Now, was this from your Marine training? Was this did you get this type of?
I don't think they do a lot of winging it in the Marines.
No, they do. They say, listen, they drop you somewhere and say, listen, go survive, dude.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Well, I was never a high enough rank where they cared about what I thought about any plans. I was the guy who they're like, okay, well, stuff has changed. Jenkins adapts, overcome. So, well,
I'm glad you're here.
I don't know. Well, you'll figure it out.
You think on your feet. Now, I guess this is our Veterans Day show.
That's right. Matt's a veteran. Absolutely. That's why we have him on today for this particular show.
The spotlight, a veteran. Don't Absolutely. We do that every Veterans Day?
Every Veterans Day, we spotlight one of our heroes. And, Matt, you're definitely one of our heroes. Now, with running, was running always a big part of your life? Or how did it be? Because, first of all, to do the type of distances that you're talking about, there has to be some sort of love. You can't just do this if you're just a guy who's like, maybe I'll go running today or maybe I won't go running. There has to be some sense of love in getting out there and running.
There's some, like, obsessive compulsive stuff with me. Like, when I was a kid, it was, like, counting baseball cards and alphabetizing them. And then when I got in the military, it was running. It was like you have to run 3 miles for the PFT. And if you run fast enough, it'll help you get promoted and you'll get more money. So, I mean, a lot of it was all about that. And the first sergeant at our unit put up a chart, and it was a contest to see who could do the most training miles. And each block was 3 miles. And so I was like, all right, well, I'm going to try to see if I can get in the top five or whatever. So I just became obsessed with running. And it got to the point where I was running 6 miles twice a day, and I'd registered for all these marathons. And
you were making more money. You were making more money from doing it. And it's like, this is a good deal.
I always wondered, because I hate running.
About running? I can't imagine you wondering anything about running.
Not about the running. It's just, what are you thinking about? Like, it's so boring. You're just running, and there's like, what's going on in your head while you're running? I mean, my internal mental dialogue is not that interesting.
So, I mean, it's different. Sometimes I've got the iPod on, and it's,
and you're listening to old shows of ours, probably?
No, exactly. And sometimes it's, I think about, I mean, the curveballs that life throws you and that you have to deal with. I mean, it's nice to get out there and clear your head and process things. I have some of my better ideas when I'm out on a long run.
But then what do? You can't write them down anywhere.
No, you have a tape recorder. You can have a tape recorder. That's what our buddy Dean Karnassus does. He has a tape recorder.
Forget about Dean. This guy just debunked all of Dean's myths.
No, I know Matt knows about Dean Karnassus.
He does, but he's not that impressed.
Ultra distance guys, they all hang out together. No. Now, have you ever done the Western States? You ever done that yet, Matt?
No. There's something mentally with me about doing a distance more than 60 or 70 miles at one time. I don't know what it is. I haven't figured it out yet, but I haven't had the desire to do a 100-mile run.
What's the longest you've ever gone out at one time?
70.
Yeah. 70 is the then. Well, how did you feel when you got to, like, let's say you're at mile number 68. Are you going, oh, my God. Like, what do you
think? I can go another 50 miles. 68.
What are you thinking at 68?
That's nothing.
What's the dialogue in your head at 68? What's that sound like?
For me, somewhere around 56. To the end, it was just miserable for me. I mean, it's kind of like, well, I'm over this. I kind of want to go to sleep and
take a nap.
I'm just tired. All the joy is done.
There's no more joy.
Joy only lasts 50 miles, FYI.
Yeah, for me. So
now,
it's different for everybody.
When you see people, when they make a big deal about doing, like, the New York City Marathon just passed, and people are going like, wow, I can't believe I did it in 5 hours. You're like, well, you're a sissy, man. That's 26.2. That's nothing.
That's for babies.
That's the starting point where I get going.
I'm just getting warmed up.
No, anybody who goes out and does a 5K or a quarter mile and is proud of themselves, I mean, that's really, honestly, that's what it's all about. It's not about, for me, it's not about competing with anybody other than myself. If I can go out and do a marathon in like 4 hours, I'm happy. And somebody else can go out and run a marathon in 3.5 hours and say, well, man, that sucked. Like,
right. Everybody compete. If you're competing and you're doing it, that's good enough for you.
The most important thing for me is to be happy about what you did.
Right. Now, you're also...
Are you like Gandhi? That seems a little too zen.
Listen, he's a Marine.
Do you believe him? I don't believe him.
It's weird.
I think he's a little more competitive. What would happen if your wife like ran faster than you?
He would.
You'd be okay with that?
I know Matt already. Matt, I could tell
he
Matt.
Would mind. He would. There's no way his wife's running faster than him. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, I'd have a problem with that.
See, I told you. Mr. Zen Matt would have a problem with that. The wife's like, come on, Matt, where are you? I don't see you behind me.
I love when you do that voice, by the way. That's a great female voice. I pay
That's
good
exactly
money for
what she sounds like.
Now,
is she in there?
No, yes. No, not today.
This is your life, Matt Jenkins.
Matt, you're also doing this to raise money for nonprofit organizations across the state of North Carolina.
Well, that nonprofit is the Matt Jenkins Get a More Chef Boyardee Fund.
The Feed Matt Jenkins Fund.
Feed
yeah.
Matt Jenkins.
And I appreciate everybody for donating.
Is that really what it is? Because Lee, we got to write a check. We got to write a check today, Lee.
No, it's really. I mean, it was really for any organization. It was for an organization that I used to work for. I just quit a couple weeks ago, but.
They
would really for any organization.
Is that because
they didn't like the 6-hour runs at lunch?
Yeah,
I'm going for a run.
And I'll be you back tomorrow.
Pretty much.
Right. Okay.
It was pretty closely related to that. There's some headbutting, but.
Listen, we could have given you. Really, I could have given you a doctor's note and said that it's part of your condition that you must run for 6 hours a day, and that way, there's no way they could have had a problem with that.
Well, usually, if you're raising money for somebody, it's good
publicity.
Good practice not to complain about the method,
right?
That they're using.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But
so anyway, you are raising money for now. Are there any particular causes that you are raising money for? Anything specific that? You know, like the fat guy wants to raise money for his son's after bar mitzvah project.
The college fund.
Right, the college fund. Was there anything particular that moved you to donate to or to have people donate?
I mean, it's a long story, but basically, like, when I was growing up, my brother had problems and really needed mentors and people to be there for him. And so when I graduated college, I looked for jobs that dealt with that, like working with at-risk youth and trying to catch them before they go down the wrong path. So the type of organization that I work for, they deal with after-school programs and Big Brother, Big Sister, and specifically with middle school kids. Now, when the new budget came out for North Carolina, they cut all of the grants that sustain these organizations. So a lot of these programs across the state had to close down. So
is that because they had no more at-risk kids in middle school? Is that why they shut them down?
It must have been.
There must be no more.
When money's tight, they take it away from people who can't or won't fight back, which is usually kids or senior citizens, and it sucks. So we wanted to come out there and do something big and say we're not just going to lie down and take this. And, I mean, because it leaves kids in a jam and it leaves parents in a jam. I mean, parents can't just leave work to pick up their kids. They need these services.
Yeah. Dr. Fitness has a butler.
No, I don't.
You should tell him to get butlers.
Matt, he makes this stuff up all the time.
You're a doctor.
So what?
Doctors have butlers.
No, they... what you're talking
about.
I think
that's a rule.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Matt, you also came out with a book called A Barefoot Run Across North Carolina that you just released.
Yeah.
Is there
anything
in there that we need to read about? Anything that you can't tell us that we have to go and pick up the book and figure out for ourselves? Or anything. Let's say there's somebody they're thinking about, like, for instance, the fat guy's from Florida. Maybe he's thinking about riding a barefoot run across Florida.
It's a thin state, though, so I wouldn't have to run that far.
No, it's a long state.
I wouldn't go the long way. I'd go the short
you go the
way
thin
across.
Way. Yeah, that's probably the best way to go then, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. That's some other good advice, too.
Pick the
right... Check the wrong way.
Pick the right way across the state.
Across. I'll do the Keys. How big is a key? I'll do Key West. That'll probably take me 15 minutes.
There's got to be a city named Florida in Georgia somewhere.
Yeah.
That's right.
How long could that be?
Really? Now you're thinking, Matt.
Now, any tips for any of the people out there that are looking to embark running tips or anything that you've learned? The one thing that we didn't even talk about really is this whole obsession with running barefoot. You know, because right now there's a movement out there, especially for minimalist footwear.
Yeah.
And, we have the Vibram Five Fingers. I think Clark makes some shoes out there. Nike's actually making some shoes that are really, they're getting away from all of the technology of shock absorption. Now, what got you into barefoot? What happened there?
I was running the Steamtown Marathon, and I saw this guy running barefoot, and
he looked cool.
This was it was the first double that I had done, so I was thinking that I was hot stuff, like, I'm running two marathons in 2 days, nobody's better than me, and
right.
Here comes this guy running barefoot, and I'm like, of course.
Was it Dean Karnazzi? It wasn't Dean Karnazzi, no. Was it?
It's not Karnazzi, it's Karnassus.
Whatever.
Man, he doesn't even know the guy's name. Is that because unbelievable, Matt?
Me and Matt agree the guy's a fraud.
He's not. He's not a fraud. He's an ultra-distance runner. So you saw some guy and he one-upped you. Now, did that make you go, wait a minute, I'm going to run barefoot or I'm going to run
– on my hands.
Right. Right. You have to one-up that guy.
No, I said, I had to try it because I was thinking of doing something foolish. Like running barefoot or joggling, which is running marathon and juggling.
There you go.
Joggling.
I can juggle.
We can both juggle.
Way too much concentration.
Yeah.
I'm going to woggle. I'm going to woggle.
Waggle.
I'm going to walk and juggle.
That's unbelievable. Woggling. That's very unique.
I can't run.
There you go.
So,
woggling.
So, Matt, what's coming down the road now for the future? What's the future hold for you? Anything that you want to accomplish? Anything you want to do?
How about ventriloquism while jogging?
Because, you only got 10 years before your next crisis occurs. You know that, when you hit 40.
Exactly.
So you've only got a little bit of time now.
I'd like to find a job.
Yeah.
I'd like to find a job.
You're on a mission to find a job.
That'll pay him for running.
Yeah.
That'll pay him for running. That's your dream, too.
Right. We
can work together on this.
Right. What can we do to pay you to run slowly?
Well, I think the next big thing is starting a family and maybe passing down some.
You already have the stroller. He has the stroller already.
Matt, you got to be crazy. What made you think of having a family? Dude, that's not the
way
to go.
That's not the right move, dude.
That's going to kill the running. I will tell you that right now firsthand.
Yeah.
That will kill the running program.
There's a guy, I can't think of his name, but I think he's won the Western States a few times, and he said something. He said you can't go out like as hard as you can every single day. Sometimes you just got to take a while off, take some time away from running, and then come back. And that, like, that energy and spirit is renewed. So, I mean, I like to take a little bit of time off in between projects, and kind of that deprivation breeds this new energy. So,
yeah,
I think I'm going to take some time off.
That sounds like a cop-out, Matt.
No, I don't think it's a cop-out.
It's a cop-out.
No, not at all. Not at all. I think it's a great idea.
Quitters never win. Winners never quit.
You'll read about it in the magazine somewhere, the next thing I do, because I can't. The next thing I do has to be bigger than North Carolina. So
just pick Texas.
What I've always wanted to do is I wouldn't run across the United States. I would recreate Forrest Gump's run. Because he ran back and forth like 8 times.
Yeah.
Across the globe, right? Didn't he go across
the United States like 50 times until they got bored with that.
I don't know. You know, Matt, the one thing we haven't heard yet is we haven't heard of the transcontinental run of naked. You know, so that might be something.
Nude running.
You know, because if you're thinking barefoot's, tough to do, I guarantee you naked, that's got to be one up on the barefoot.
Yeah. The biggest thing would probably be dealing with law enforcement the first quarter mile.
But you just got to be fast.
He's fast.
And you got to be quick. You got to be dodgy. Nimble. You got to be dodgy. And you got
to run in a straight line.
Have to be elusive. That's really one of the things
Serpentine. Serpentine.
Absolutely. Stay off the beaten
path. Go out there butt-ass naked and run in circles.
Yeah. There you
well,
go.
Well, here's the deal.
That'll get you some news.
It might
You'll
be
running, in the news.
Look, Matt, it might be running through neighborhoods. It might be cutting through someone's lawns, And,
just no kids around.
And you may need to use their pools as a way to shower every now and again, to cool down a little bit. But look. But what about the body paint? What about
my college days.
What about if you did the body paint? You know, if you painted yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a good idea. Then you just paint yourself to look like the road. They wouldn't even see you. You'll be like invisible.
You saw the picture in Blue Ridge Outdoors, right?
Yes, I did.
I don't really have room. I've got tattoos all over me.
Yeah, well, so that's right. That's
a step in the right direction.
Yeah. I'm working my way up, yeah.
Well, now are you still living in Boone, North Carolina? Is that still your hometown? Is that the place where you call home still?
Yeah, that's where we are now. We've been here for 2 years, and I'm ready to go.
Well, listen, out of here. Atlanta's a hop, skip, and a jump. Maybe leave.
Just run over here.
Maybe we
see you by dinner.
Maybe we should hire Matt to just be our
I like it. Atlanta's a nice city. They've got they used to have the Turkey Day Marathon. I don't know if they still have
it. I've run that. I've done that a bunch of times. They actually do. I think this is the first year they're not doing the complete marathon. I'm not sure about that. But I think they're still doing the half. So
I did a bandit run of it last year, and I had to start early. And so for the first 5 miles, there were a few people who thought that I was winning. And that was pretty crazy. Good job.
Right. And that's got to be a great feeling when people are like going, you're doing great. Come on. There's no one around you.
8 mile minute pace and they think
you're the
running fours.
Right.
That's a good strategy.
Clearly not marathon fans.
Well, Matt, do you
any tips? We need some running tip.
Yeah, give us one tip. What's the one thing that gets you through? Like today, you're not running. What's going to make you get out tomorrow to go run?
My schedule. I'll get up and run tomorrow. I'm getting back into it and getting back into building upper body muscle mass. So my training regimen is a little different. So I'll have
steroids.
Yeah, I'll have more of a balance. The one tip that I would give people is to find balance in your running and not
find balance. You mean the 70 miles? That's the balance. The balance?
Well, that was a little bit too extreme for me. My balance would be 50.
I gotcha. So you should know.
Find your balance.
That's right. Everyone needs to find their own personal balance.
Yeah. Well, Matt, I think that if you're competing with somebody else, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, it should be with yourself. But now, Matt, do you have a website, anything where people can go check you out and keep up to date with what's going on, or we can continue?
I'm off the grid completely.
You're off the grid. So
how do you find them, doctor?
Facebook.
Listen, I went through the government, and I spoke to his sergeant, and that's how I got him. Now, but I will. Yeah. We definitely want to keep in touch with you, Matt, because we want to find out. I know that there's a big event waiting to have your name attached to it pretty soon. And it was great having you on the show, and we want to continue following up with you. And listen, one big tip is don't get bit by snakes. You know, if it's a stick, assume that everything is not a stick. How's that for a tip from Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy?
Yeah, it's not all bad, though.
It's not all bad. It made you tougher, probably. You said you
now he's immune. It's like Spider-Man.
Did the copperhead snake
die?
Did it hurt when you got bit by it?
Of course it hurt.
Feels like a yellow jacket sting.
Yeah, you see that?
I mean, it really
it's
scares
nothing.
You more than anything. It doesn't hurt, but the swelling and trying to put pressure on your foot,
that
hurt.
Yeah. It's the continuing trying to run after getting bit by the copperhead. That seems to hurt.
It doesn't hurt until the next day, really.
Right. Yeah.
But do you have any superpowers because of that? No. Was it radioactive?
It lowered my IQ a little bit, if that's a superpower.
Well, Matt, thanks so much for coming to the show. We really appreciate it, and thanks again. And
that was a good time.
And listen, stay in touch with us. We're going to – I don't know if I'd be able to follow you now because there's no way to follow you, but
– You can follow his wife.
Right.
She's slower.
You got my email.
I do have your email, and I'm going to keep in touch with it. And I want you to have a safe and happy Thanksgiving and a great holiday season as well.
You guys do the same.
All right. Have a great day.
All right.
Bye. Take care.
That is Matt Jenkins, the guy that ran across the state of North Carolina. He has a book out called A Barefoot Run Across North Carolina. Lee, I think we can get that on Amazon. I don't know. I should have asked him where we can get that.
I don't think he cares.
Yeah, I don't think he really cares either. But anyways, great to talk to him. And he's a great veteran. Glad that we came on the show today. And
for Veterans Day.
760 miles across the state of North Carolina, Lee.
It doesn't seem like that.
What do you think?
Deal.
What do you think about running back to backs? Marathon.
I've never even heard that phrase before. Have you heard it?
I haven't heard it either. No. But anyway.
And wasn't it interesting that there's 50 people that run 50 and 50? That's not a big deal?
I think it's still a big deal. It's still a big deal.
If people are doing it every day, it's not that big of a deal.
I don't know, man. Those are superhumans to me. I can't roll. But
there's a lot more of them than one, though. That's what we learned here.
I can't roll with that. That's
not yet.
I want to know if there's any of those people out there that are happily married.
None of them.
How is that possible?
It's impossible.
How could your wife give you a free pass to go run?
That's for 2 months.
How could that
possibly be? See you in 2 months.
How is that possible? I get so much crap when I'm out for an hour. How the hell do you get that much freedom to go run?
Not going
to
happen.
Man, that's special. Anyway, I'd give you a website to check out Matt Jenkins, but I don't have one.
There is none.
So you're just going to have to go check out Dr. Fitness.
Google Matt Jenkins.
At drfitnessthefatguy.com. Check out our new book, 35 Ways to Know to Raise Active Kids. Things to Know to Raise Active Kids.
And I think one of those ways is to run 760 miles barefoot.
Well, one thing I want to tell you about, Lee, and this leads into my next topic that I want to tell you, was that Dr. Fitness actually celebrated this past weekend with a breast cancer walk in honor of one of our dear friends that passed away. And we did the 5 mile, we did the 5K.
We did?
No, we didn't do it. My family, actually, we woke up on, listen to this. This to me was like the greatest thing. We all woke up at like 6 o'clock to get ready for this 5K.
I didn't see any pictures on Facebook of this.
Yeah,
that wasn't a photo opportunity.
I didn't because I was actually running in this. Yeah, I didn't have my camera.
Nice.
I should have done that. Really, that would have been a good photo op.
You think?
So anyway, we took the whole family out, and it's a 1 mile walk and a 5K run. So of course, I took the 5K and turned it into a 5 mile.
Of course. So you ran
twice.
You ran twice around.
Well, no. If I'm running, might as well make it wasteful, right?
Exactly.
Because for 5K, it's only 3 miles.
That's nothing.
That's a jog, right?
You do that in your sleep.
So, but it was so great. We took the whole family out, and I was thinking how awesome it would be if we got the family up every Saturday morning.
It was great because you weren't with them. They were somewhere else while you were running.
I know, but I thought how awesome would it be if we got up every Saturday morning and go do a race. And I'm trying to get everyone in my family, I'm trying to convince them to do a marathon with me. And they all could do a little bit of this, but ultimately I would finish the entire marathon, and this way it would be like a whole family getting together and doing it, and it would be a huge accomplishment. So I'm looking to try to see if I can turn that into a reality, Lee.
I think it's important to get the family involved in all physical activity.
I had so much fun getting them out the door and getting to do this thing.
And it's for a good cause.
But, you know, this is so funny. I thought it was a 5K walk. So I thought everybody was walking for the 5K. So I get out there, and I go for a run. I do my run. And then I get done. I'm like, oh, you know what? It's only 3 miles. Maybe I'll just go run another mile and a half and then go from there and see what happens. But apparently it was a mile. And the thing that's great about this walk that we do is that afterwards there's this amazing breakfast that we all get together and celebrate. And it's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful morning full of great food, great egg salad, tuna, bagels. The whole Jewish soul food thing happens. And it was a great time. So, yeah, I got to run. I got to eat. It was a great time.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm going to see if I can pull that off, Lee. If I can pull that off with the whole family, that's going to be a great thing.
It's a dream come true. Speaking of dream.
Speaking of dream, we have with us the owner of the Atlanta Dream. This is the WNBA's franchise here in Atlanta, Georgia. We have the owner with us, Kathy Betty. And
she's also the point guard. Did you know that?
I didn't know she played point guard. She doesn't play point guard. There's no way. But this is one of the most successful things. This is a great story because before she owned the team, they weren't doing that well. Then she takes over the team.
Boom, turned it around.
First year, they go from kind of in the middle of the pack into the finals. And they almost beat, I think it was Seattle, who won the entire thing. Well, that just tells you about the owner, Kathy Betty. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm great. It's great to be here today.
Well, listen, Kathy. So here you are.
How's your jump shot?
Yeah. Mary Nell won't. You know, you think you buy a team and they'd let you play, but they won't.
Now, that's what I wanted to know, because the fat guy and I, we bought a gym because we figured it would get us better in better shape.
That didn't work either.
And that didn't work. Now, did you buy this team to go, you know what? I want to play more basketball. So this is what a great way to play basketball.
To fulfill her dream.
To fulfill my dream of playing basketball. No, that's not why I bought it. But I was told very quickly I couldn't play.
Really? They told you that?
Yeah, they said I couldn't jump. My arms weren't long enough, and I wasn't tall enough.
Now, wait a minute. You played basketball in high school, right? Didn't you play?
No, I did. No, I didn't. We didn't have girls' basketball when I was growing up. I had a basketball goal, but not when I was growing up. We didn't.
Now, you grew up in Decatur, Alabama. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Did you grow up on the off the Beltline there?
I did. You know Decatur, Alabama?
Listen, Kathy, I know Decatur,
Alabama.
That's
like a second home for Dr. Fitness.
I know it very, very well. And I think, are you the most well-known person from Decatur, Alabama? Is there anyone else, any big celebrities from that area?
I don't know that I'm a celebrity.
Well, you are for Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy.
In our world.
In our world, you're a celebrity, absolutely.
Oh, good. I like that.
So now, when you say I'm going to buy a team and I'm going to get a franchise, I'm going to do this.
What'd your friends say?
Yeah, like
they're going, hey, Kathy, great idea. You should buy a team.
Considering it was the worst recession that I had ever lived through in my life, you can imagine most people said, are you crazy?
Right. So,
but you had all that sports team ownership experience, so it was logical.
Yeah, right.
So now, what do you attribute to the success, the quick success that you've had so far? I mean, getting into the finals. I mean, there, we both know that there's a lot of teams that never get to the finals. You know, the entire time they have a franchise.
Well, the real answer to that is her name is Mary Nell Meadows, and she's our GM and coach. And this was our third season. After the first season, which she won 4 games the first season, she totally restructured the team and got the core of the team the second year. And then she built off of the second year. And she's built a team that's not only incredibly talented, but the chemistry is unbelievable.
Now, do you, because right now we see, like, if you look at professional football, if you look at the Dallas Cowboys, you see that Jerry Jones is in the spotlight. His team is in the cellar. They're doing terrible. And all you keep hearing about is Jerry Jones, Jerry Jones. Do you think as an owner it's important to be in the spotlight, or do you think you should kind of be in the background and really making things happen behind the scenes?
Well, I think there's two answers to that. The first part of it is you've got to let the people that know how to do their jobs do their jobs. So when it comes to basketball and basketball operations, Mary Nell is the person in charge and takes care of all that. I think as an owner, there is a certain amount that, you know, for Atlanta, it's important for Atlanta to identify with a brand and an owner that is from Atlanta. So,
right. So
I think it's important for everyone to understand that I am part of Atlanta. I'm excited about being in Atlanta, but not from a Jerry Jones or a Mark Cuban perspective.
Right. Now, also, if you look at the way that soccer has become so popular, especially from a participating standpoint, very popular among females, very popular among males as well. But is it, if you look at soccer also, it seemed like they had a very difficult time being able to transition from participation to, can we get people to watch this and can we get people to come out to actually see this? Do you have the same challenges with basketball, with women's basketball as well?
Well, one thing that's good about the WNBA is that we've been around for 14 years. So we're the longest running professional sports team. So that helps us from that perspective. But, you know, our challenge is getting people there for the first time. Once we get them to a game, we generally hook them. They're repeat customers once they go to that first game.
Can you talk about what it's like at a game, a WNBA game?
Kathy, is there any way if you're talking about getting more people in the stands, is there any way that we can possibly fire the fat guy out of a cannon across the entire
– Or a slingshot.
Yeah, anything that we can get to get – because I think that would actually increase the part –
Maybe they can shoot me with the slingshot, and if I go in the hoop, they win a prize.
Yeah, that's right. How many times can we get them in the basket? That actually I think would be something that would be popular.
Hey, I think, you know, you're really onto something. I think we could have a sellout. I am all for it, especially if you won't charge me for it.
No, I'd actually pay you. Dr. Fitness would pay you to get the fat guy shot out of a cannon into a basket. Absolutely.
I think the fans, we'd be sold out, no doubt about it.
Right.
But, you know, it really, you know, we were sold out our last game. So during the playoffs, we sold out. So that was really exciting for us. And we have created a sense of pride around the Atlanta Dream this year for the city of Atlanta and for the community.
And also, it seems that the players are positive role models. And it sounds like this is one of the things that got you excited about, too, was to create a positive role model for young girls from a sports perspective. And it seems like you guys do a lot of outreach in the community for Atlanta. Tell us a little bit more about what you guys are doing with the communities and stuff.
Well, that is, as you well know, that is why I bought the team. It was the platform that the Atlanta Dream provides for the community. And our young ladies, they practice in the morning, and they're out in the community in the afternoon. And it is so important for women. The skill sets that you acquire playing sports is huge. If you're a young girl and you play sports, there's a 20% higher graduation rate, not only in high school, but college as well. If you go all the way to the top women executives in the Fortune 500, 80% play team sports. And
right.
it is a skill set. You think about guys. They go in, they play sports, they learn how to beat up each other, they learn how to win and lose, they learn how to rely on each other, they learn leadership, they have self-confidence. That is not a DNA skill. It is a skill that they learn. They go off the court, they might fight in the court, they go outside the court, and they're friends again. Women have much more difficulty. In the boardroom, that translates to you go in, you have a board meeting, you disagree, but you go have a beer. That's harder for women.
Right.
And so it's just a great skill set to help young girls not only get through the classroom, but all the way to the boardroom.
Now, when you say that the players go out in the community, what exactly are they doing in the community?
Well, they're working with our sponsors and charitable events. They're also doing clinics. We're also providing a lot, you know, and we do a lot of Be Fit, and we all know that obesity is a huge issue for not only Georgia, but for the nation as well. So they're out promoting nutrition. They're out promoting being fit. We did a big event at the Charlie Yates YMCA for Cool Girls. So we had about 150 young girls, and we went through a whole Be Fit clinic. So those are a sample of what we do.
Yeah, it's such an important thing to do. We think that anything that you give, especially young girls, because also with the teen pregnancy rates, especially girls that are involved in teen sports have a much lower incidence of teen pregnancy than people that are not participating in sports. So it's such an important thing to have that role model and to see those players out there. Now, I looked over the roster. Looked at where some of the players are coming from. I saw a couple of Georgia gals that are playing for the team, University of Georgia. Now, I went to Rutgers, which at the time when I was there, we had one of the top basketball programs, women's basketball programs in the country. I did not see any Rutgers players on the team, but I did happen to see a couple of – there was a from overseas players from Brazil and other places as well. And first of all, where do you find somebody that's 6'7", that's a female? I've never even heard of this before. They're 6'4", like you grew up where I grew up. I mean, I never saw a female, I think, over 5'7".
Oh, I'll tell you what, that has changed. There's more and more out there. And, you know, Elena, who we're just talking about, she's from Belarus, and she is a beautiful – she's a model. She models part-time.
Man.
And then Allison Bell, who is 6'5", she went to Duke and is planning to go to med school after she retires from the WNBA. These girls are just amazing. And we have two Brazilians, Izzy and Erica. And I'll tell you what, that Izzy is as fast as she can be.
Right.
It is just amazing to watch her.
Now, Kathy, when you look at if you look at tennis and you look how popular now tennis and actually in the women's side of the sport has actually kind of surpassed the men's side in terms of revenue dollars, and they've actually kind of built the tours around each other. I know there's a lot of stuff that you do with the NBA as well, but But do you think that it's possible that the same thing can happen in women's basketball? It's happened in let's say sports like tennis and other and you know soccer and basketball as well.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think you're seeing a growth in women's sports, period.
Right.
I know our attendance has grown in double digits year over year for the last 4 or 5 years, as well as our TV viewership. And so I think you see women's sports growing together more than growing with men's sports, because we are young ladies. We are different, but we provide an extremely exciting competitive game and game experience.
So, what's going to be what's the future? Are you going to buy the Falcons? Do you hang out with like Arthur Blank, and do you hang out with some?
Is there a WNFL?
I'll tell you what, though, the men's professional teams in Atlanta have been extremely supportive of me. Arthur Blank and Coach Smith were actually dream dads at a game. They brought their daughters and participated in halftime activities at a dream game. And I have met with his management team. They have been very helpful with me from the business side, and the Braves as well, and of course the Hawks are.
That's great! Wow, it sounds well. I think that's. I'm glad to hear about your continued success with the team. And I mean, this coming year, I mean, where do you go from the finals?
Well, now
you got to win the whole thing.
The expectations are extremely high.
Now you got to win the whole deal. And I think the thing that's only missing right now from a championship is a fat guy being shot out of a cannon.
I think so.
I don't think there's anything else missing. You have all the other components.
It sounds like you're on to something, and we might need to do this because, I mean, you think that's what's keeping us from making a championship, you know?
Right.
Well, it seems like a missing piece.
Well,
can you talk a little bit for the listeners who have not experienced the game? Like, is it the same? I know obviously the rules and everything are the same as an NBA game, but is the experience for the fan, is it like going to an NBA game, or is it more like going to kind of a minor league baseball game?
Probably less cursing. I would think less cursing on the floor.
And our cheerleaders are dressed.
Oh, yeah. And are they men? Are they men cheerleaders? Because that's what
we have both. We have female and male cheerleaders. It's a very family-oriented crowd.
Right.
There's a lot of dads and daughters. There's a lot of family. And there is something happening all the time. The fans are extremely loud. Our games are very, very fast. I think that's the one thing that everybody I have brought to a game for the first time this year is they are absolutely blown away at the speed in which the game's played. We play fast. They pass the ball. They set up plays. And, I mean, it is just incredible. And I think that is different than men. We don't play above the rim. And fundamental basketball is what the girls play. And I'll tell you something else. Young boys love it, too.
Right. Right. No, it's and the thing that's also wonderful to see is, you know, growing up as a competitive tennis player, you know, and getting my butt kicked by some females as well, is I think it's a good experience to see young boys seeing, you know, that the females can compete at the same level and do well and be, you know, very competitive and be good at great athletes as well. And we're seeing that in many, many different sports, not just basketball, but lots of others. So we wish you the continued success with the team. I know your season is actually, what is it, from it's May? You started actually in May and go through to, you know.
Actually this year we started in May. We started early because the World Championship was being played right after our season. And so, but we'll start the first week of June this year.
You'll start the first week of June. And the thing that's also great is that you give the opportunity for a lot of these college athletes that are coming out of school, and where do they go and what do they do? And having a professional sports for women's basketball is such a wonderful outlet to have something to showcase a great sport. So it's really a wonderful thing as well. Well, we really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. Now, the website to go to see more about the Atlanta Dream is atlantadream.net.
Yes.
And that's where people can go and find out. And, you know, I know we're out of the season now, but, you know, come June, we're going to these games.
We got to go.
I promise you, once you go to one game,
you're hooked.
We're going to be hooked.
You're going to be hooked. and we'll set up that trick in the the canyon. I mean, I'm all over it. I'm hearing this as a commitment.
Yes, I don't know. Maybe a cannon might be a little too much, Kathy. Maybe it might have to be some sort of
a slingshot.
Slingshot, yeah, something. I don't know. Maybe we can fly them with balloons over the entire. I don't know.
They do. I've seen that at sporting events where they have those blimps.
You're watching too many sporting events if you're seeing that. I've never seen that anywhere.
Yeah,
they have blimps in basketball arenas now.
Okay. Well, Kathy, thank you so much. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to hearing more about the Atlanta Dream in the near future. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Have a great day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. That's Kathy Betty. She is the owner of the Atlanta Dream women's NBA team. Check them out at atlantadream.net for more information. Their season starts in June, but they're always doing local outreach programs around the community as well. And when you're online, make sure you check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy. At drfitnessandthefatguy.com, check out our new book, 35 Ways to Know to Raise Active Kids, something like that,
It's a long title.
It's a long title, man. And the cover really stinks, too, right? It's not that exciting.
The back has
the cover,
our picture.
Maybe the back
should be the front. There you go.
Or maybe we should have something in the back that says, turn this around.
Yeah.
go to the back first. But it's a great book. We give you a lot of tips on how to raise active kids, what's going to make kids stay active, do things. It's not about raising the next
Michael
superstar.
Jordan.
Yeah, you don't need that.
No.
Because the chances of that happening are slim to none. But you have a much better chance of raising an active kid. And that we can teach you and teach you things and give you some ideas on how to do that. So go get the book. Go read the book. Go pick it up. And if you see us, we'll actually sign it for you right then and there. Boom.
Boom. We carry a pen with us wherever we go.
Lee, before we go, I want to tell you one thing. This goes in line with Thanksgiving. It's coming up. Did you know that Jones Soda came out with a bacon soda?
Yes.
You know that?
Of course.
How did you know that?
Because I'm aware of Jones Soda and their marketing and what they do.
How disgusting can that be?
Look, they have a turkey and gravy soda, too.
Oh, my God.
You see that?
I can't imagine that. But if you're interested in a bacon soda, they have it out now. And I think if you go to the website, you can actually buy it directly from them.
Yes, and they have where you can put your picture on the bottle if you want.
This is another thing I saw, too, that was really funny. For people, this is for guys. If you're trying to buy a gift for the holiday season for a guy, there's actually a thing called the beer belly.
People want that voluntarily?
Yeah, they can buy the beer belly. What it does is you can actually store bottles of beer, so when you go to a sporting event,
you sneak it in.
You sneak it in.
Yeah.
It's a way to sneak it in. It makes it look like a belly.
Yeah, a friend of mine does.
How crazy do you have to be?
My friend, I know this guy that his whole business is about sneaking liquor into sporting goods.
How crazy must you be about alcohol to have to sneak it in?
They have flasks that are hidden in cell phones, canes, seats that you bring. This guy invented something, I swear, that he has a patent. It's called the sippin' seat. It's a seat that you sit in at a game. But the bottom is empty, so you fill it with liquor.
How crazy must you be to have to sneak in alcohol? You can buy it there.
I know, but it's cheaper.
I know.
You bring in hard liquor. They don't want beer. So they're not sneaking in beer.
So if this is for all your thrifty alcoholics out there.
Exactly. That's the practical ones.
Exactly. Well, go check that out. The Drink Your Bacon, you can get that at Jones Soda. And I think if you go to jonessoda.com, is that it, Lee?
Sure, why not?
Is that but they're not paying us. What do we care where you go for that?
Google it.
Yeah, Google it, check it out. And that's what I got. All right, Lee, anything else before we go? Anything we
need to tell
people?
I think that's a wrap, Doctor.
That's a wrap? Okay, well, for Lee Kanner, I am Dr. Adam Schaffer. Every week we are making Healthy Livy
fun for everyone.
We'll see you next time. Take care.